This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of Sports by the Book will join us. We'll talk some Super Bowl, but we will also talk where we begin now, and that is with just an absolutely stunning trade. Happened late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, as Anthony Davis is traded to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for, it sounds strange to even say out loud, Luka Doncic, who is headed to the Lakers. So one of the biggest trades I can remember in the NBA, any sport, that just the level of players switching teams, the level of shock that this player would be traded, especially Doncic. So we'll get Jeff's thoughts on that, and I will just jump right into it as expected, quiet sports weekend, no football, a little college basketball, nothing really in the NBA to talk about. Can only do so much on the Super Bowl, but it's the week of the Super Bowl, so figured going to do Super Bowl. But then we get this absolute bombshell, and I had the same reaction I think a lot of people had when you first saw it, and that is, oh, it's fake. Oh, it was on Twitter. Somebody hacked the account and somebody came up with a bullshit story to mess with people, because there's no way the Mavericks would trade Luka Doncic. And there's no way if they trade him, this would be the return. And the fact that they didn't even get everything LA had to offer, they left picks on the table, pick swaps on the table, players on the table, just shocking. And you think about it, Luka's either the second or third best player in the league. Toss up between him or Giannis. Giannis does some things Luka can't do. Luka does some things Giannis can't do. Yeah, Luka is 25. Let's call him the second best player in the league or third best player in the league. Davis, maybe, I don't know, 15th best player in the league, somewhere between 10 and 15. If you want to take the injury history into account, maybe 20, although he's been pretty healthy the last few years, even though he is banged up now. And interestingly enough, both players are on the injured list, unavailable to play as this trade happens, as this trade goes through, which is still just shocking to think that Luka is on the Lakers. You get the second or third best player for a top 15 player. Those kind of trades just don't happen. Really kind of unprecedented in terms of that. I can't, if there is one, I'm missing it. I know people have brought up like Jason Kidd versus Stephon Marbury. That's, I mean, Kidd was a really good player, borderline great player, but he was not the second best player in the league. And Marbury was never the 15th best player in the league. So that doesn't apply. I can't think of anything on this level, just in terms of surprise and just in terms of shock, in terms of like how surprised you are by the move. Paul George going to the Clippers, going with Kawhi, that was one that happened in the middle of the night in the summer that really caught people off guard, because nobody really expected George to be traded. And the fact that he went with Kawhi as a package deal, that was surprising. There have been others. I guess the first time Harden was traded, and he lose track, he's been traded a million times, but the first time he was traded from OKC to the Rockets, the season was about to start. He was a young and up-and-coming player, but he wasn't even an all-star at that point. So that was a shock, but that wasn't on this level. This is just unprecedented. This is unprecedented. And from a Dallas perspective, unless there's something off the court with Luka that we don't know about, and something tells me there has to be more than meets the eye, either off the court with Luka, some sort of injury, some sort of personal thing, it can't be a basketball move. From a basketball standpoint, again, he's talking about a 25-year-old who's the second or third best player in the league for a 31-year-old who's not that good. And the fact that they didn't shop Luka around. Now, I understand if you shop him around, it gets leaked. And this thing got leaked by nobody. I actually buy the idea that LeBron didn't know, because nobody seemed to know. And there was this wasn't rumored. This didn't get out. This just, and man, I would love, I would pay significant money to be a fly on the wall to hear these conversations and to see the Lakers' reaction. I mean, they must have thought somebody was pulling their leg. Hey, you want Luka Doncic? I mean, I would love to see that reaction of like, too good to be true. Like in the movies, when they rob a bank, you have to use a weapon. You have to do something to go in and get the money. You don't just walk into the bank and they hand you the money and they thank you for coming. This is what this is. This is a complete robbery, a complete giveaway by the Mavs. I know Davis is a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, great player, but he's not Luka and he's not as young as Luka. And again, I understand that shopping him around would have risked this getting back to him. And if you shop him around and a deal falls through, well, now you're going to have a pissed off Luka on your hands and you don't want that. So I get you wanted to keep it quiet. But when you look at some of the other returns, Mikal Bridges goes to the Knicks, never been an all-star, probably never will be an all-star, gets five first rounders. Gobert went for 5-6 plus first rounders. When you look at picks and players, Mitchell got traded for a ton. Durant got traded for a godfather offer of picks, plus Bridges, plus Cam Johnson. It's just the level of player. And Doncic is better than all of these guys. I know he's moody. I know he doesn't really play defense. He complains about the refs. He is a brilliant, brilliant offensive player, generational offensive player. Led his team to the finals last year, led his team to a conference final. Was it 2 years ago? So twice in 3 years, he's at least been to the conference finals without great teams around him. I know he's got Kyrie, but that team he brought to the finals last year, and they got there because of him, was not very good, was not a typical finals team. He's just such a dominant, generationally great offensive player. I'm just still recording this 18, 19 hours after it happened, still just in complete and utter shock that this trade took place. Now, there's a lot here, and again, we'll get to it with Jeff. If it does fill a void with the Lakers where they're not immediately just automatic title contenders, because now you don't have a lot of defense and you don't have any size. They're going to have to trade. I would think they would trade for some sort of big, some sort of defensive big, whether it's Nick Claxton, whether it's whoever, Robert Williams, they'll get a big. They need some defense, because as great as LeBron and Luka is, and that is a dangerous team, a fun team, they're just not going to get enough stops. LeBron doesn't guard at this stage of his career. Luka stinks on defense. Austin Reeves is a liability on defense. So you're going to need some size. But once you get size, watch out, because they're just going to be a brilliant, brilliant offensive team. And even if this doesn't make them a contender this year, and they're down to 17-1 at FanDuel, plus 950 to win the West, I don't mind taking a shot at those numbers. Those are actually reasonable bets to make, just because you do have LeBron, Luka in a playoff series. And outside of OKC, it's kind of wide open, where it could be similar to 2 years ago, where the Lakers find themselves in a conference finals. And if you got yourself in a conference finals at plus 950, you'd feel good about it. The Lakers need some move. But this is about post-LeBron, post-AD, the Lakers. You're set up now where you weren't a day ago, 2 days ago. LeBron's 40. Davis is 31, but an old 31. And you look down and just project 2-3 years from now, you don't have a lot in terms of the next generation of Lakers. Now you got a 25-year-old you can build around. Now you got to bring in some stuff to keep him happy. Step one is getting the superstar. Step two is keeping the superstar happy. And they don't have a lot of young players, picks, assets to build around Luka going forward, because they're best player, second best player, LeBron is 40 years old, and he's going to, 2-3 years from now, at some point he's going to slow down. And what is the next iteration of the Lakers look like? But the Lakers, you figure with cap space, with Luka, they could sign somebody, they can figure enough out to keep him happy. But that is something to keep in mind with the Lakers going forward. Again, just kind of rambling here about, the different moving parts of all of this. But the bottom line is the Lakers are set up really well now with, this is just their latest version of getting the Kareem and the Wilt and Shaq and Davis and LeBron, and getting these guys and bringing them in just by being the Lakers, and having a little luck too. I mean, the fact that this guy fell into your lap with the amount of assets, the lack of assets you had, and you didn't have to give up all of your picks. The fact that you could end up with this guy is completely unfathomable. If you would have told me Friday, Saturday, the Lakers are going to get Luka Doncic, and I said, there's no chance. This is like one of these local radio trades where, hey, we'll give up nothing. We'll give up something very small, and we'll give up a lot. Again, I know Davis is not small, but the fact that you could land Luka for Davis is so beyond the realm of comprehension, and not even give up all your stuff is just, I can't get over it. I really can't get over it. So Lakers 17-1, Mavs down to 35-1. It's not a bad team. They're going to be really good defensively. They're going to have Kyrie in a bunch of defense, but I just go back to this idea. There's got to be more. There's got to be more that meets the eye, because if there's not more, if this was just, we wanted to get rid of him, he's hurt a lot, he's not in the best shape, he's tough to deal with. If that's your explanation, if that's the real explanation, only explanation, goodness, I don't even know what to say. It's going to be one of the worst trades in NBA history. I mean, it's that bad of a trade, just in terms of the asset swap and the fact that, okay, let's just say you wake up and you want to trade him. I would never do it. You should never do it. It's impossible to get fair value. The fact that this is what you got back is just so unacceptable in such a short pay in terms of the return. It's I think it's a fireable offense. I would not want anybody who made this trade running my organization. It is just complete malpractice. I'm sure these other teams, and reading some of these stories, these other teams are furious. Wait, this guy was available and he went for that? If you're Orlando, you could have given up Paolo. I mean, you could just go down the line. Would Boston have given up Tatum? I mean, they obviously would have given up Brown, I would think. You just go down the line. Would Giannis, would the Bucks have given up Giannis? Now, maybe Luka wouldn't have been happy going there, and that nixes all of this. But this is just crazy. This is absolutely crazy that this player was available and moved for this little. I mean, he's Luka Doncic. He's 25. He's just a great, great player in an NBA. It's not like the NFL where, you know, you trade Tyreek Hill, you trade a star. I guess it would be equivalent to trading a quarterback. It's not like you trade a star player and you can get picks and cap space and you can rebuild the team. There's 52 players on a team and you can rejigger your roster. It's the NBA where it's all about the star. And this guy is about as good as it gets. Outside of Jokic, he's basically the best player in the league at 25, and he trades his team. So, again, I don't mind taking a shot on the Lakers. It is very hard to comprehend this idea that this guy actually got traded. Just a bizarre, bizarre move, and the lack of Dallas shopping him, the lack of interest in maximizing the offer. I mean, you could have gone to the Spurs and said, give me everything you have outside of Wembanyama, Castle, all your young players, all your picks. You could have just gotten an absolute motherload. A 31-year-old Anthony Davis, again, a really good player, Hall of Fame player, but he's 31 and he's not, you know, probably not the best player on a title team. He's been on a team with LeBron the past 4 or 5 years, and I know they won their first year, but they haven't really sniffed a title ever since. That in one pick, I mean, you couldn't get more swaps, you couldn't get more picks. It is just really, really bizarre. I feel like there has got to be more to the story, and if there's not, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say, but the Lakers, Luka Doncic in the Laker uniform, Luka Doncic in the Laker is just, can't even make it up. You can't even make it up. And all of these rumors, all of these things, like Jimmy Butler getting rumored to be traded here or there, we usually get some run-up, some runway into these trades where we have some hint it's coming, some hint they're shopping him. This was just completely out of the blue. And just, again, one of the bigger trades in the history of sports, one of the more surprising trades in the history of sports. And I'm just shocked that the Lakers had this guy fall into the lap, and I would love to see their reaction behind closed doors when they hang up the phone and they say, we actually just traded for Luka Doncic and we gave up Anthony Davis, and a pick and a couple throwing players. Just an absolute steal, an absolute heist from the Lakers, and a Mavs move that, if you're a Mavs fan, I don't even know how you look at your team the same way. I don't even know how you root for your team the same way. It's just complete, complete malpractice to give him away for this little. So we'll see what Jeff Parles thinks. I'm still reeling from this move. Almost a day later, it's just a shocking move, as the Luka Doncic Lakers will now be the next iteration of this great franchise. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. We'll talk to Parles. That is next. This is a Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. As we are returning here, we do have some breaking news, at least breaking for me recording it, us recording it. De'Aaron Fox is headed to the Spurs. The Kings get what looks like 2 1s and then a protected one, which is going to turn into 2 2s. LaVine goes to the Kings. So Spurs get Fox, Kings get LaVine. We'll break down that trade, three-way trade, Bulls, Kings, and the Spurs. But to discuss the ridiculous, just mind-blowing trade that happened late Saturday, early Sunday, let's bring in our buddy Jeff Parles, Sports by the Book. Jeff, boy, my open was just a lot of rambling nonsense about how shocked I was, and I can't believe the Mavs did this. I can't believe they didn't shop him more. Even though I know it's real, it still feels fake to me. What the hell do you make of what we saw?
Well, when I got the, I was out in the, I was busy on Saturday night, and this sort of deal went down, I guess, about 9:10 Pacific on Saturday. I get a text from Gil, our friend Gil Alexander, of course, at 9:20. Of a screenshot of the trade. And my first reaction is, this is a fake. Gil got duped. He's not old enough in order to get duped by social media. So I was like, wait a second, hold on. A, Luke is getting traded. B, he's getting traded for, as great as Anthony Davis is, and Anthony Davis has been great this year, there's no arguing that, but one draft pick, Max Christie, who's been fine and is a role player, and AD, who, yeah, look, he's been great. He's only missed 14 games over the last two seasons. Okay, but what? Like, what are we doing here? If we're Dallas, and quite frankly, Will, We're recording this not even 24 hours after the fact. I still don't know how to process this, because like when we see big time players in the league get traded, like let's take the Durant deal, who's 10 years older than Luka was when the deal happened, when he went from Brooklyn to Phoenix. The Nets got a guy who turned out to be a perennial all-star, an all-star caliber player in Bridges, two unbelievably good role players, and enough draft capital that basically helped them out moving forward. Then the Nets flipped Bridges around for four number ones last year. And
was it four or five?
I think it was four plus one that could turn back into one, okay. Right? Whatever it was. It was even at five, even better, even accentuates my
point. It was ample.
It was ample. And Luka Doncic, who, and I was trying to figure this out on the air on Sunday morning on the show without my co-host Alex White, like, who would you definitely not trade for Luka straight up at this point if you're in the NBA?
Wembanyama, Jokic.
And maybe SGA, maybe. Like, it's close. Like, I get it if Oklahoma City doesn't want to do that, but it's close. Like,
Payton would be a tricky one just because you have it well run with the Celtics, the defense. You don't feel like you need to take a swing for that, but you at least have a conversation. Giannis, you even have a conversation because of the age gap.
Yeah, Giannis, absolutely. Like, I don't think I'd do it if I were Milwaukee, because I still think Giannis is better than Luka to build a team around. But you don't know if Giannis wants to hang around in Milwaukee long term. Like, if you're the Bucks, you absolutely have that conversation. I mean, I just can't believe it. Like again, you're trading a 25-year-old who's supposedly going to go into the peak of his powers. It just makes me think, like, A, is Dallas's whole front office completely incompetent, which is very possible. B, is this injury with the calf worse than we know? And that Dallas thinks that, like, all right, this injury may hang around for maybe just a consistent thing that we have to deal with. That time after time, we see how injuries have derailed Joel Embiid's career very quickly. Maybe that's that. You don't see a guy at the peak of his powers get traded in the NBA unless if he demands out. There's no demand out that anyone knew about. And you don't see him get traded for, honestly, Anthony Davis is really good. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer who's still really darn good in the top 20 player in the league. But you got him and you got nothing. I mean, even a package the Lakers gave up to get Davis 6 years ago was better than this package. It just flabbergasting. It makes no sense. It probably means that Dallas's front office will probably be done in less than 3 years. Especially if they don't make the playoffs this year, which they might not make the 8-team bracket. They'll make the play-in, but maybe not the 8-team. And maybe with that Spurs trade, who knows now? But man, it makes no sense. It's flabbergasting, and for the Lakers, it just continues the run of having, except for when the Lakers held on with Kobe being a star when he wasn't anymore, for that 7-year stretch where they completely forgot how basketball worked in that front office. I mean, the Lakers have had at least one top five player on their roster or top 10 player on their roster basically their entire existence, except for one 7-year stretch in their franchise's history.
So, it's every time I start to think about something else. It really is.
You could do this in the 2K sim and get denied. Like, that's how crazy of a deal this is all the way around. And also, too, like, it's so funny that Utah gets involved in this mega deal, too. But they have to. They get the money.
Where does it put the Lakers right now? They need a big. They need a lot. Yeah. They need defense. They need shooting. I guess you look at it and they're 18-1 to win the title. I'm curious if you think that has any value. You have Luka. You have LeBron. You have a puncher's chance against anyone outside of OKC. The West is Could you be a scenario like 2 years ago where you look up and you're in the conference finals? Maybe, but the roster needs a lot of work. Big shooting. There's a lot. What do you make of the Lakers as currently constructed?
They're not there. They're too bad defensively. Like they could play some really fun games, maybe win a series or two with the right draw, but they're not winning. They're not capable of winning three or four series in the playoffs with that defense. unless if they really are. Look, they could be super active this week. You never know. But I, this trade really, like, the Lakers were probably not, the Lakers were not winning a title with Anthony Davis. So, like, this is a no-brainer for a lot of reasons, but the Lakers now become, I mean, they're already a premier free agent destination, even becomes it even further at this point with having Luka there. And I mean, well, I, if you maybe bet money on it, I would say Luka plays the rest of his career in LA at this point. Like, there's no reason to think he won't be a Laker for the rest of his career unless if he hangs around at the end and starts doing the random shop around at the end. But I don't think the Lakers are that close. I wouldn't bet. I obviously wouldn't bet it. I wouldn't bet Dallas either. Since they now skyrocketed in numbers, I just wonder now, Will, and I'll pose this to you. If you're the Lakers, if you don't think you're capable of winning it all here, do you dare entertain the idea of trading LeBron?
I was going to ask you. That was my next question.
Yes, I do. Dare entertain that thought? I think you have to at least, like, look, nothing's happening without LeBron putting a rubber stamp on it 12 different times. But you have to at least, if you're Rob Pelinka, you have to at least approach LeBron and be like, look, we're going to explore this. We won't send you anywhere you don't want to go. Tell us where you want, where you'd be interested in going and see if you can make a deal. I'm not even sure who, like, I'm not even sure who else would, like, what team that would even make sense. I know we had the rumblings with Golden State last year. That doesn't make sense anymore. The Warriors are, I mean, the Warriors might not even make the play-in.
Would Cleveland give you one of their pieces?
I don't know why you would do that if you're the Cavs. I mean, I know it's crazy to say, and I still have, like, LeBron is still at 40, still one of the 8 best players in the league. But if you're the Cavs, do you really want to screw around with what you got right now? The Cavs are 40 games. Cavs are going to end up being 40 games over 500 this year at this rate. I don't know. I mean, Cleveland, yeah, makes sense. I mean, I don't think they'd be able to get the money to work. But, I mean, if you're the Knicks, I mean, do you dare? I don't know what they would have to do, but you probably would have to trade two of your big pieces in order to do it. Obviously, LeBron has always talked about how much he loves playing in the Garden, and the Lakers beat the Knicks up on Saturday night at MSG. I mean, do you dare? Do you dare do that if you're the Knicks? You probably can't, because just the age of LeBron is – that's what makes this so complicated, right? Like, LeBron is 40. He's still a top 10 player in the league. There's no sign of slowing down, but he's 40. Like,
and he's redundant with Luka. There's some overlap between the skill sets.
Well, I mean, look, for the Lakers' perspective, again, I would be floored if LeBron got moved this week. I'd be floored. But if you're the Lakers, you at least have to listen and see, like, all right, like, if LeBron is willing to go to 3 different places, see if they're willing to do something. If not, like, all right, whatever. But it's not a bad thing to have LeBron and Luka on the same team, especially if Luka's able to come back and be healthy with that calf injury.
Yeah, my concern with the Lakers, if – like, for the first step is getting the superstar. The second step is keeping the superstar happy. It's like, what is here for Luka a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, the post-LeBron era? They've got Luka, they've got LeBron, and they really don't have anything else. Your second best player, your best player is 40 here. I just don't know, like, what's keeping Luka around, unless you think we're going to have so much cap space once LeBron either retires or goes somewhere else that Luka plus LA plus cap space, we're going to get another superstar. We'll find the talent. The talent will come to us.
That's what I would say more so than anything. And in all honesty, Will, I mean, once you live in California, kind of like, especially when you have all that money, like high end NBA players do, like, you're not leaving more times than not. If you have the money. There's so many different questions from this at this point, like for Dallas too. Like, if you're a Mavericks fan, you saw that last night. Like, how do you not just step back and be like, how the hell can I support this?
Oh, I know.
Like,
I know.
Like, how, like, you just traded the guy who was going to be the good, like, they found their next Dirk. Like, you know how hard it is to have a guy like Dirk?
Probably better. I think he's probably better.
Like, forget the skill set. I'm just talking about, like,
sure.
Like, what he meant to that team. Like, when you thought Dallas for all those years, like, Dirk won a title, it was Dirk Nowitzki. Like, they were able to get away with trading Jason Kidd and not re-signing Steve Nash because of how great Dirk was. And now, like...
And they blew with Brunson. You got nothing for Brunson. No, you didn't develop him.
The Brunson thing was just... They just overthought themselves on that. That was just classic, like, all right, this guy can't possibly be as good as he was the last year he was in Dallas. We're not going to pay him. And again, well, the whole Jalen Brunson thing goes back to the fact that Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick, despite being the best player on a team that won 2 titles in 3 years. So, like, it just goes back to that. The NBA people just didn't appreciate what Brunson did all that time. But, look, for Dallas, like, I don't know, even know, like, if you're a Dallas fan, like, where the hell do you go? I'd step back and be like, all right, until the GM is gone, like, I'm not coming back. If they go in summer, the conversation is so insane at this point. Like, Dallas could win the title this year, and I still think the fan base would be pissed off. Like, that's how egregious this trade is. And again, Dallas is not winning the title. I don't even think Dallas will win the playoff series this year. And also, too, well, like, they were in the finals last year. Like, that's the craziest part of this. They were in the finals. Now, were they competitive against Boston? No. But they were still in the damn finals last year with a pretty similarly, like, who cares about the defense? Like, they were good enough defensively to steamroll through the West last year. They, just ridiculous the whole thing. Like, yeah, maybe they got fortunate that Denver wasn't in the West final, but guess what? They weren't, and they battered Minnesota, who beat the defending champs in that series.
Is Luka the best player LeBron's ever played with?
No, that's still Dwayne Wade.
You're more sure than I am. I think it's close.
It's yeah, you know, man. I still think it's Dwayne Wade. The one thing with Wade, like, it's kind of funny. Like, Wade won a title as the best player in the 06 heat. He wins two with LeBron. And I still think he's underrated all time because of how people perceive that super team down in Miami. That's actually would be a fun little power ranking of LeBron's teammates, right?
2020, like, Davis. I would just look at it at, like, point in time when he played.
Yeah, 2020 Davis was spectacular. Yeah. No arguing on that.
Especially the bubble where he's hitting every shot, which was just an out-of-body experience.
So AD, Wade, I'm just throwing names out there. Luka will now be there. Bosch, who might be the most underrated player in NBA history at this point. Kyrie's there. Kevin Love wasn't as good in Cleveland as he was in Minnesota. Luka's at worst number two, number three at worst. I think it's a pretty stable top three of Wade, AD at his peak of his powers, and Luka now.
Just shocking. Anything else on this, or you want to give your thoughts on the Fox deal?
We can go to the other trade where, this is a rare one where I think all three teams actually did pretty well, actually. Like, for San Antonio, you get the bona fide second star to play with Wemby. That also, too, like, San Antonio's cool again. Like, San Antonio hadn't been cool in over a decade, and now they're cool again, which, who knows if Pop is able to actually come back and coach again at some point. But,
and who knows what kind of package they could have put together. We know what kind of package they could have put together.
If I was San Antonio, guys, you could have anyone on my roster except for Wembanyama, and we will make this thing work if I was San Antonio. Because if you put Luka and Wemby together, oh my God. That would have been something else. Forget it, Jesus. I mean, those Oklahoma City, San Antonio Western Finals, we get that basically every single year for 9 years at that rate, if that had happened. But no, look, De'Aaron Fox still kind of underrated because he plays in Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox is really freaking good, I think San Antonio is one more piece away from realistically being a threat to compete at a high level in the West. Sacramento, the fact that they got picks and LaVine is pretty good. Like, you take that. LaVine, I think, gets a little bit of a bad rap because the Bulls have been so dysfunctional the entire time he was there. But LaVine's a totally useful piece, especially when now, like, for Sacramento, I think him and Sabonis actually work pretty well together. honestly. And then the Bulls, like, look, the Bulls are going nowhere. Bulls did what they needed to do. They got enough assets back for Levine. So I think everyone did pretty darn well in that trade, all things considered.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Kansas City. I'm not overly strong, but Chris Felica, we had him on last week, and he quoted you, basically, of just like going back to that Buffalo-Kansas City game. Like, you feel kind of stupid one way or another. Like, of course it was going to be the time Buffalo beat them if that happened. Or it was like, how the hell did I bet against Mahomes in a big game at home? I was on Kansas City in that AFC title game for that exact reason. And this is kind of the same thing, right? Like, if I bet Philly and the Chiefs win, it's like, I really bet against Patrick Mahomes again in a big game. And in the reverse of that is like, yeah, of course the Eagles beat the Chiefs. They're more talented. They're the better team, where the only thing that Kansas City is 100% better than them at, well, it's pretty damn important what they're better than them at, head coach and quarterback. So, like,
kicker too. I've been talking about this kicker. Man, I don't trust Elliott.
Yeah, Butker. Yeah, Butker's not the same dude right now after that knee surgery. But Elliott has been such a mess for the last 2 months for whatever reason, and it's so funny too because like, what's the big like the two Jake Elliott moments ingrained in my brain were that ridiculous kick he made against Buffalo in the rain and wind last year, and then making that field goal to push the Patriots Super Bowl to 8 from 51 yards or 52 yards, whatever it was, where if he misses it, New England gets the ball in midfield down 5 with less than 2 minutes to go and a timeout left. So, yeah, you are right. That is another critical area. Even though I don't think Butker's the same guy right now, Kansas City is better at quarterback, head coach, and kicker. And then, look, we've seen it show up plenty of times where those three positions end up making a difference.
Any props you like?
I'm so different than everyone else on planet Earth when it comes to props. I let the markets mature and just try to bite things that haven't been really bet. I will tell you, I think the one big thing in this game is that I think Devontae Smith is going to have a big game, because I think Kansas City is going to be so hell-bent on slowing down A.J. Brown and not letting A.J. Brown beat them. And Smith had a big Super Bowl 2 years ago anyway. I think this is Devontae. I think this is Devontae game on the Eagles' end. I'm trying to go against Barkley in the props, but it's just so hard to go against them. And you know you can just get burnt like what happened against Washington. 160-yard run, and basically you're like, all right, well, he's already halfway home, and he's run one freaking play in this game. Like, that's more than possible on that. But Devontae Smith on the on the Eagles side, trying to fade Barkley, but it's so hard to. And then the one guy, and Will, I'll ask you this. These Kansas City Super Bowl championships have been littered with random guys making gigantic plays in it. Obviously Hardman last year. 2 years ago was Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, I don't even know if Sky Moore is still on the Chiefs roster. We know what's happened to Toney since then. And then the first championship, Damian Williams should have been the MVP of the game. So there's going to be one random Chief that does something big. It's just a matter of throwing it against the dartboard and seeing, all right, will the dart land on Samaje Perine? Will it land on Noah Gray? Will it land on Juju Smith-Schuster or DeAndre Hopkins in this game? It's just a matter of finding the right dart of the random Kansas City player that makes a big play or scores a touchdown. Hell, MVS had a touchdown in the Super Bowl last year too. So there's going to be like, I'd be very careful about betting worthy props. I would not touch Pacheco props at all. I don't think he's healthy still. Kelsey, yeah, if you want to do it, fine. He's going to show up. But there's going to be one random Chief that does either goes way over his yardage or way over his receptions or scores a touchdown at a gigantic price. Like, that's going to happen in this game. I do lean to Noah Gray in that capacity, but if you told me it's Hopkins, wouldn't be stunned either.
As you're saying this, it kind of tipped me off or reminded me of something. That there's a lot of, in the Chiefs, there's a lot of late 90s Yankees where they find ways to win. Yeah. You're scared to bet against them. You never know who's going to get the big hit. You never know who's going to come and get the big out. Brocious could hit two homers, be somebody in the bottom line. Well, there's a lot of similarities.
I've had my dreams for 25 years. Like, I mean, I mean, there's plenty of that. You're 100. You know, it's funny. No one is. I have not heard a single person make that comp yet, but it's pretty damn similar, isn't it? Like the only difference is I always thought Joe Torre was a little bit overvalued, but that's basically every baseball manager that's ever existed. When you're not basically going out and losing games for your team, but like, you're 100% right. Like it could be Brocious one night. It could be Ricky Lede one day. Like there were so many guys, like everyone, like obviously Jeter, Bernie, who by the way, I don't have to tell you, Bernie Williams is the most underrated player almost in baseball. Him and Kenny Lofton are the two most underrated players in baseball.
Lofton's a good one. Lofton's a really
good one.
Those
two guys fell off the Hall of Fame ballot. They both should be Hall of Famers. And they were never even really considered. Paul O'Neill could do like, but it just amazing. Like that is the comp, right? Like
Girardi Jeter with the triple against Maddux.
You know, like Girardi triple in 96. Like totally forgot. Jim Leyritz in 96. Like, I mean, it just, yeah, Jeter and Mahomes kind of line up too as the similar things. But yeah, no, it's a great comp. Those late 90s, those Domino's 4 and 5 year Yankees, which again, like here's the thing though. When it ended in 01, it ended in the most shocking fashion possible. Like, I don't know if it happens here, but at some point there will be a moment like that where it's like, wow, they beat Mariano Rivera in the bottom of the ninth of game 7. Like, there could be like, wait a second, Patrick Mahomes turned the ball over on the drive down 4 with 3 minutes to go and they never got the ball back. Like, not saying it's going to happen here, but at some moment that will happen at some point. Like, Brady finally lost to Manning. Like, Brady lost to Mark Sanchez in the playoffs at home. Like, at some point, this will reverse, but I don't think it's happening in this game.
Now, last one. Any feel for the total?
It's so funny because I'm going through my prop list. I very minimal unders. Very minimal unders. I don't know if that's just me reverting back to my square ways when it comes to Super Bowl betting or not. But I feel like it's too high, but then when I look up and it's like, oh, it's 35-28 with Philly trying to drive the time to game late, and this game has been over for a quarter since midway through the third quarter, like it wouldn't shock me. So yeah, I think I lean to the over, but I'm not strong. But I mean, Jesus, these 73 points the last two games in the Super Bowl with these two teams. Philly's defense was not quite as good as it is this go around, but I think Kansas City's defense is better this go. Kansas City didn't score more than 30 points all year until they had to last week. Like, if they have to do it again, they will. And Philadelphia's offense, as dynamic as they were 2 years ago, they're better now. They're better now. I mean, the O-line is pretty damn similar, even without Kelsey there. The receivers are the same. The tight ends are the same. And Barkley's significantly better than every running back they had in the stable at that point 2 years ago, which, by the way, it's still 2 years. Still 2 years after it. I'm still pissed that Gainwell didn't get that last half yard on the opening drive 2 years ago. That would have been such an amazing hit that, of course, was a half ruled a touchdown, and then we got the tush push to screw it up, of course. Well,
yeah, and I think both teams will move the ball. Like you said, last time they played in the Super Bowl, 73 points. Chiefs are coming off a game where they went way over. Philly's coming over a game where they went way over, coming off a game when they went over. The only thing that would concern me, again, I think both teams move the ball. The only thing that would concern me, long drives, where Philly chews clock with long drives, yeah, 3, 4, 5 yards at a time. Kansas City does the same thing. And you look up and it's like, man, the first quarter ended and both teams only had the ball once and it's like 3-0 or something, where long drives that end in field goals are just long drives that whatever, where there's the clock gets chewed up. That would be my only concern.
Well, that's kind of what we talked about a little bit earlier in the playoffs with Washington. Like that was like that Tampa game only went under because Washington had both those teams had multiple drives over 6.5 minutes in that game. Didn't matter the Detroit game because no one stopped anyone unless they turned it over. But you're right; it's more than possible. This could be. I mean, geez, if you told me this was each team got 6 possessions in this game, I wouldn't be floored. It'd be surprising, but you could tell me that each team got 3 possessions in each half with the way that they grind these drives out. And it's pretty damn hard to get into the 50s when you only have 12 possessions. A game, 15, even 15 possessions, it's hard to get there in that sort of scenario.
Jeff, this was fun catching up. Just a reminder, Luka Doncic is an LA Laker.
Incredible. Incredible, man. I can't wait to see when Jimmy Butler gets traded for a bag of balls this week, then, Will.
Yeah, I guess the latest is he will not sign. He has no interest in going to the Warriors, which I've spent very little time on because I'm just so sick of hearing it. I guess he wants to go to the Suns, but the Suns don't want to give up anything worth giving. So I don't know who cares first in that one.
First off, if I was Golden State, if you put Draymond and Jimmy Butler together, how are you accomplishing anything?
Good point.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Jimmy Butler thing. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And I don't blame Phoenix. I don't blame him. Why would you give up anything for a guy who has no market at this point?
Yep, totally agree. Jeff, Sports by the Book, at Jeff Parles. Where else can people find you?
Those are the two best places. Sports by the Book on YouTube to watch the show. Plenty of Super Bowl coverage all week long. And also I caught up with the one and only Ian Eagle last week. So we talked Super Bowl. So if you want to check that out on the Sports by the Book channel, that is there right now if you want to listen to one of the best play-by-play guys in the business.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Of course, Will.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Wednesday. Go all Super Bowl Wednesday, Friday, and get ready for the big game. See you then.